People in North Carolina are hunkering down. Hurricane Florence has made landfall. From Marketplace in New York, I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio. Hurricane Florence has hit the coast of North Carolina. It's a Category 1 storm now, but still has 90-mile-per-hour winds and is expected to dump 20 to 40 inches of rain in some parts. Dr. Jane Harrison, coastal economic specialist at North Carolina Sea Grant, is in Raleigh and joins us. Hi, Dr. Harrison.
Thank you for having me.
And you're doing okay down there?
Yep, doing just all right so far. Mostly thinking about our friends and colleagues on the coast right now.
There's some major sectors of North Carolina's economy that are specifically dependent on the ocean. How long do you think they will take to recover?
Well, you know, we'll have to see. You know, we have a large commercial fishing sector here. You know, during Hurricane Matthew, oyster farms, for example, were closed for at least 2 weeks after that hurricane. It's that immediate loss of business, but it's also the investments that have to be made if there is damage to their gear, to boats, to any of these businesses' infrastructure. And, you know, what we're finding in the commercial fishing sector is over time, we're losing the number of fishermen that are in that sector. And, you know, these kind of storms that cause a real economic impacts to their infrastructure, they're hard to bounce back from.
Dr. Jane Harrison, coastal economic specialist at North Carolina Sea Grant. Thanks so much and stay safe.
Thank you.
Diane Swank is one of our regular contributors on this show. She helps us make sense of the markets and economic indicators we get all the time. She's currently chief economist at tax advisory firm Grant Thornton, but she's been assessing and making sense of the economy for years, including during the financial crisis. And on this 10th anniversary of the week Lehman Brothers failed, she was kind enough to share some of her diary entries during that weekend with us. Hi, Diane.
Good morning.
During this weekend when Lehman was looking to make these last-ditch efforts to try and find someone, you know, Barclays or Bank of America, somebody to buy them up to help save them, that's when you were talking to a conference of bankruptcy lawyers. You have a fun quote about that.
Sure. From September 13, 2008, I spoke at a breakfast and found myself struggling to describe an economy in quicksand, especially as Lehman's fate was in the balance. I finished up with questions following my presentation, and to my shock, a full bar was open at the back of the room. Given the incentives of the group, I wasn't sure if it was to pop champagne corks or drown in their sorrows. This was a group I was talking to of bankruptcy experts, and they had an odd way of rejoicing in dark news on the economy.
Did people there really take that as good news?
It wasn't as bad a news as you would expect, given the audience that I was speaking to, because they really didn't understand the magnitude of what was happening. Most people didn't understand the magnitude of what was happening. We knew it was bad, and that's because of the panic that ensued and the tentacles that people just didn't realize that spread throughout the financial system globally. It was awful in financial markets. Remember, within weeks of this, we broke the buck on money market accounts, and companies that had relied on short-term funding to do payroll, overnight funding, they had had it, you know, it worked forever until it didn't. And when it didn't, they had to fire everyone overnight. I mean, the kinds of employment losses we were seeing were just mounting by the day. It was so incredibly destructive.
Your role at the time was to watch the financial system, report on it, understand what was going on. But this was something that not a lot of people saw coming. And I wonder if it changed the way that you do your work.
One of the things that I do now, and I always remind clients and our senior management, you know, what do you need to do now that's easy to hedge if the economy were to falter? Because I can tell you some of the ways that it will look when it falters. I can't tell you exactly when. But that's what I do now is I always ask, what am I wrong about? What could I be wrong about? What am I missing? And what's happening in the shadows faster than we can realize, especially with things like fintech? So, yes, it has changed how I approach things. I'm much more cautious than I used to be. And the bottom line is cycles are a part of life, and we need to be able to deal with economic cycles. It's also part of human nature. And that's what this is all about, after all.
Diane Swank, chief economist at the tax and advisory firm Grant Thornton. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure? At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next, we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before. More at paloaltonetworks.com.
August, turns out, was not a super spendy month for consumers. Retail sales are out this morning. They grew, but just by 0.1%. It's the smallest amount in 6 months. Then again, it was August. So forget August. Retailers have their eyes on November and December, and they're betting on a lot of holiday shopping. They're already getting ready to hire a ton of workers. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman reports.
Seasonal hiring at retail chains and e-commerce fulfillment centers is running hot, according to outplacement firm Challenger Gray & Christmas. Target, Macy's, and FedEx alone plan to hire 250,000 workers. But there's a lot of churn in this job market, says VP Andy Challenger.
Retailers have been the number one announcer of job cuts as they close stores across the country, and they're the number one announcer of new job hires to serve e-commerce.
Store jobs are disappearing in suburbs and small towns where malls are shutting down. The strongest job growth is at warehouses in big cities and near transportation hubs where e-commerce is booming. There, competition for seasonal workers is fierce. Tim Gates at ADECO Staffing says employers are offering
sign-on bonuses, completion bonuses, flexible schedules, job sharing.
Gates says many of his e-commerce clients started staffing up for the holiday rush in midsummer, a month earlier than last year. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
And in New York, I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.